Episode 164, BulaNetwork.com. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, kids. My name is Randy Kentra, your host here at BulaNetwork.com, where we are all about getting new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. Today, let's talk about show and tell. You remember show and tell? Sure you do. Well, how about show and tell your way to success? Let's talk about that next. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you subscribe. And if you do subscribe, I have one request. It won't take you but a few minutes. Well, okay. Admittedly, it's a little more difficult than it probably should be. Leave me a review over at iTunes. It'll just help more people find the podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. So thanks in advance for doing that for me. Okay. Let's hearken back to second grade. The second grade for me was, well, I'm probably much older than you. And in second grade, I had an opportunity that was afforded to me one day in class. And I don't remember if we had show and tell every week. But on this particular day, it was show and tell, and it gave me an opportunity to tattle on my neighbor. And I was quite pleased with the opportunity. We lived on some acreage. We had horses and we had ducks and stuff. And I would venture out into the woods and play, and I would hide in the woods. And we had a neighbor, and they had some acreage as well. And I don't even remember their names, but the man of the house, he would ride his riding lawnmower, and he wouldn't be mowing. He would just be riding the mower. That was kind of like a poor man's ATV, I guess. Well, they didn't have ATV. Did they have ATV? I don't think they had ATVs back in the day. Yeah, maybe they did, but I didn't know anybody that had one. Well, he rode this thing. He would ride this thing around the perimeter of his property, and he would drink beer. And he would, you know, they were bottles. We never had alcohol. We never drank. No one in my family drinks. I don't drink. So that made this even more intriguing because, you know, beer was an absolute no-no. I don't mean just because of my age. It was just adults weren't even supposed to drink. You know, that was our conviction and faith. It still is, by the way. So I would watch this man, and he would be drinking beer, and he would, as he's riding along, he would toss the empty bottles over the fence onto our property. And I would watch him do this as I would be sitting back in the woods, observing him. Thankfully, he never did catch me as I was catching him, throwing his beer bottles onto our property. And of course, as kids are, you know, I was quite incensed by the whole ordeal. And I guess when I was picked up from school that day, I'm sure I announced what I had done, or the teacher, I don't know, somehow my mother found out about my show and tell, and she was quite horrified that I had shared this with the entire class. And if memory serves, I don't remember his name now, but I'm thinking that I may have even used his name, Mr. So-and-so. I'm thinking that kind of got me in some trouble. I don't know. It seemed very noteworthy enough for me to share. I don't remember any reaction from my teacher. I don't remember any reaction from the other kids, but hey, it was off my chest, and I know I sure felt better for telling on this beer swilling, bottle throwing neighbor of ours. Show and tell. It's cool, you know, and it's fun. I mean, we still love it, don't we? I do. I've got a neighbor today who is very show and tell worthy, but it's not quite as becoming to tattle on adults now that I am one. It's a whole lot more fun when you're in second grade and you can tattle on an adult who's misbehaving. You know, businesses desperately need to learn how to show and tell. And some businesses are really good at it. Many, I dare say most, are not. There's a picture over at the blog post. If you go to BulaNetwork.com, BulaNetwork.com, and just find episode 164, you will see a photograph of me and my not quite 2-year-old granddaughter, Kinsley, is sitting in my lap, and I'm reading a book to her. It's a kid's book, obviously, entitled I Love School. You know, show and tell in our businesses is not much different than me reading that book to Kinsley. It's a story with pictures, you know, I mean, and everything, anything that a 2-year-old would need. And you need a lot. You need a lot more than words to keep the attention of a 2-year-old. And trust me when I tell you that my granddaughter she will not let me linger on any single page of a book for much more than 5 seconds, maybe. Now, thankfully, I am a speed reader, and I'm even a quicker page flipper, so I'm able to maintain her interest. Now, we have to have a big stack of books by us because you can't be going back. I mean, once you've flipped through one, it's next. We got to move on. We got more books to go through. But you know what? Your customers and your prospects, they are very similar to my almost 2-year-old granddaughter. But then again, I mean, aren't we all? I mean, we're all battling the ability to maintain focus. How many blogs do you read? How many web pages do you visit? How often do you check Facebook? How often do you check email? How often do you check Twitter? Yeah, we may be smarter than fifth graders, but most of us, we are not able to concentrate any better than 2-year-olds. And so that makes this whole thing of storytelling even more valuable. Many businesses, especially what I guess you would consider traditional businesses, they don't do enough work, in my opinion, in crafting their story. I'm not saying manufacturing a story. I'm saying crafting their story, crafting a true, genuine story that's worth telling. Now, in the second grade, I knew I had a compelling story. Well, I knew mainly that I had a story I really wanted to tell. And it was interesting to me, and because my classmates were also second graders, I figured, you know, if this is interesting to me, my classmates are likely to be interested in this too. And it did have some real classic elements that you have to have in good stories. There was a main character. That would be my neighbor. It had some illicit behavior, and, you know, don't we do kind of like those kinds of stories. Drinking beer. Oh, well, and there was another illicit behavior, tossing the empty bottles into somebody else's yard. Oh, sinister stuff. And that made this main character, who, by the way, he was an adult. I was a second grader. He's the villain. Oh, it just doesn't get any better than that if you're a second grader. The adult is the villain. You mean he's the guy doing something wrong, not me. Yeah, this is great stuff when you're a second grader. Well, until, you know, you use his proper last name and your parents find out about it. And I don't know if the teacher told on me or something. I mean, I didn't get in trouble for it. I just remember my mom was not. She was not terribly happy that I was slandering the name of our neighbor, even though they had clearly seen him ride around on that riding lawnmower of his drinking beer which isn't against the law, but it was so sinful to me, certainly as a second grader. But then the audacity, the sheer gall of it all to throw the empty bottles over onto, you know, onto our land. No, I didn't pick them up. You kidding? I dare not touch a beer bottle. You talk about getting in trouble now. But show and tell, it was great stuff. It was great stuff. That's the only memory I have of show and tell. I'm sure there were other opportunities, and I'm sure there were other classes, including that one, that I had the opportunity to show and tell something, but I don't remember ever showing and telling anything else. I certainly did. I'm rather sure that I did, but nothing was quite as compelling as that. I mean, certainly no story that I ever told had all of those elements at it. You know, I could have only wished to have had a story just as engaging and compelling to tell. But I'm thinking about businesses, and I'm thinking about some of the stories that businesses can tell, and how they either don't tell it or they don't tell it very well. I was thinking of a home builder. About 25 years ago, there was a home builder in the town that I lived in. And my wife and I we would get out and we would walk. And it wasn't that far from the subdivision where we lived, as I recall. Or maybe we had driven to it. You know, we like a lot of young couples, well, I guess, and even older couples, we kind of enjoyed going and walking through open houses and things. And we weren't in the market for a house, but you just kind of enjoy seeing new house construction and new floor plans and all that kind of stuff. And so we're out in this neighborhood, and bunch of new houses. And so we go inside, and we walk inside, and it was ready to show. And of course, I was always hopeful that there wouldn't be some real estate agent just waiting to pounce on us. You know, we were just snooping, curiosity seekers. That's all we were. And we walk in the main room, and there was this, I would say it was a 6 to 8 foot display, about the size of a sheet of plywood, which is, what are they, 8x4? So it was about that size. It was turned up on its side, so it was longer than it was tall. And it was at this angle so that from a standing position, it was just this very nice, very professionally laid out display. And it had sections of, it had, you know, a little square of, this is the kind of tile used in this home. Here's a swatch of the carpet in various rooms. The paint, the brand of the paint. I mean, there were even things like the nails. And I remember then there was a section that showed how close together the 2x4s were and how the framing was done. And there was even another little side stand-up thing that was kind of a miniature version of kind of how they constructed their walls. And all the components that went in to make this house, they were affixed to this board to show people that came in and looked at the home. These are the kind of quality components that we're using to build our houses. In walks a guy, and he's got on clean blue jeans. He has on a clean collared shirt, but he clearly does not look like any real estate agent I've ever seen. He walks in, he introduces himself, and he thanks us for being there, and he introduces himself. He's one of the crew. He's part of the construction crew that works for this builder. And I was running a business at the time. And of course, anytime I found anything like this. I was intrigued. And if there was somebody I could talk to ask questions, and all the better. So I wasn't offended at all to see him. I was quite happy to see him. And now I'm really intrigued. And so I began to ask him, no, they didn't have real estate agents. The guys in the crew took turns showing off the houses because he had been part of a crew that had built this house. And he's showing me these things on this display, and he's showing me how they do their construction. And we walk up to the upstairs, and he shows us along both walls, there's like this big family room upstairs. There's a bathroom, and then there's a big family room that I guess you could repurpose for whatever you wanted. And along the walls, like going out into the attic, there were a number of openings. They had doors, and he would open those, and you would see finished attic. Not only finished attic, but enclosed and insulated. It wasn't ventilated, but it was insulated from the extreme heat or the extreme cold of the attic, and it was storage. And I mean lots of storage. And he was explaining to me how his company was very insistent that all of the space be utilized. If you could use the space, we want to use it because we realize our customers are having to pay for it. He walks me and he shows me, and of course, this is long before instant hot water. You know, if you have gas, I don't think you can do it if you have electric heat or electric hot water heaters, but if you have gas available, you know, there's this instant on kind of a thing where you don't have to have a tank. It's tankless hot water. That technology wasn't in this house because I'd never heard it. That technology was brand new, but this house had something similar to that. And shame on me, I didn't do enough research to see what the predecessor of that technology was. But he walked us into this closet thing where all of the electrical was and the plumbing, and I'd never seen anything like it. Now, we're not talking about a high-end home. I mean, we're not talking about a $500,000 home. And even though this was 25 years ago, my recall is that this was not a $200,000 home. This was maybe $150,000 or so, which admittedly was not chump change 20 years ago. Well, it's still not chump change, but you know, we're not talking about some mansion. We're talking about a subdivision of affordable houses. He showed us, in fact, on this board was the insulation that they used. And they were working hard at the time to try to incorporate anything that they could to make this house as energy efficient as possible, to keep it as warm as they could in the winter, as cool as they could in the summer. And it was unbelievable. And I was quite impressed. And I thought, you know, this is brilliant. I remember leaving there, and here it is 25 years later, and I still think about it. How brilliant is that? How brilliant is that to show that kind of stuff off? And how brilliant is it? Yeah, I helped build this house. I mean, so not only was there power in the story, but there was power in who was telling the story. Very different than having some real estate agent, you know, be your shill. No, I mean, here's a guy in work boots and blue jeans, very clean, very polite, clearly not a salesman, but he was gifted at telling the story because he had been part of the story. He walked around with a nail bag and a hammer and whatever else he had to have to build this house. And as we walked through, he was explaining, here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Here's how we sand the sheetrock. And once we sand it, then we go back and we do this and we do that. And it was, I'd never heard anybody, and I'd looked at plenty of houses. We had bought a fair number of houses even at the time. And I remember thinking, why don't more people do this? And I was in my 20s. But why don't more people do this? Okay, maybe I was in my 30s. I don't know how old I was. I was a lot younger than I am now. I might have been 30. I was in my late 20s, I think. It still impresses me. And you know why? I've never, ever, ever, ever seen a home builder who does that. I've never seen it since. Now, okay, I'm not out there checking every home builder, so maybe that's not a fair statement, but I haven't seen it. And before I hit the record button today, I did go out and I did check in my local area. I checked, okay, who are some of the home builders that show up in Google searches and whatnot? And I went and I checked out websites. And you know what I saw? I saw the same thing that you see wherever you live, more likely than not. You see people, they're saying the same thing everybody else is saying. And occasionally, one will jump out and somebody will say something like, they'll talk about, and of course, being green and energy efficient is all the rage. And so 10 years ago, that might have been something. But now, okay, everybody says it. It's kind of like saying, hey, our car has tires. Well, yeah, your car and everybody else's car has tires. Everybody's got tires. So what? But if you got a story to tell me about why your tires are different on your car, okay, well, now you got something. And if you can make it interesting and compelling, you really got something. And I'm amazed at how people, and I'm not picking on home building, I'm just using it for illustration because of the spectacular nature of the storytelling that was done with this builder some 25 plus years ago. And we can't drag ourselves into this, you know, into this new media space where we have all the advantages to tell these stories in a much easier, cheaper fashion. And yet people don't do it. People don't do it. I think one of the reasons is we don't think enough about the story. Now, in some cases, what I find is I find that people in less traditional businesses, people in these new online businesses who can be very good at this, many of them aren't all that trustworthy. At least I don't trust them. Sorry, I just don't. But they may be really good at telling a story. And what I'm saying is there are so many of you out there in traditional business and you've been doing business. You're not a startup. You've got some degree of customer foundation already beneath you. I don't understand why you're not telling the story. I really don't. I don't understand why you're not looking at the things that make you distinct. And I'll tell you what I think your problem is. Your problem is you've been doing it for too long. I don't mean by that you need to quit. I just mean you're too close to it. You're in the middle of the forest. You can't see the trees. And some of you are so busy, you're looking at the bark on the tree because you're detail freaks and you're control freaks and all that. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. The problem is you don't have the perspective where you're able to tell a story. You're too close to it. And there are things that you take for granted, things that someone like me or someone outside of your space, outside of your industry, we would find it maybe interesting because we don't know about it. We've never heard about it. Nobody's ever explained it to us, but it's second nature to you. I think there is a component of that exists in a number of people's businesses. They take it for granted that everybody knows what they know. And the truth is, no, we don't. I've learned that through the years. That can be, by the way, that can be a really daunting lesson to learn. I wish I had some shortcuts to help you, but you really have got to get your head wrapped around the fact that just because you know it does not mean that it's common knowledge for all the rest of us. And what I find is people tend to fall in one end of the spectrum or the other. People tend to over-amplify what they know and assume that they know something so spectacularly different and rare than all the rest of us. And in most cases, no, they're not that good. They're just got an overinflated ego. But I find more frequently people fall to the other end of the spectrum where we discount what we know as being anything so special. the carpenter, because that's what he was, the carpenter that walked my wife and I through this home that he had helped build. These were not unique things. He was working with these things, and he had a workflow, and he and his crew, they did these things. They built house after house. This was an entire subdivision. Well, this particular street, it had a number of houses that had been built by this man's company. Well, he wasn't an owner. He was just one of the crew. But even that was a story. The fact that he's the guy here, the fact that, no, my buddies and I, my coworkers and I, we all spend an afternoon, a morning, and we show the houses. Well, I just thought that was brilliant. It was one of those slap your forehead kind of moments for me, because I thought, well, duh, of course. Why wouldn't, if you're a home builder, why wouldn't you do that? Well, okay, our workers aren't that articulate, or, you know, these guys don't clean up well, or I thought it was brilliant. So brilliant, I still remember it today, and I'm telling you about it now. What can you learn from that? What is it that you do? Are there ways that you do it that are different or that are at least outstanding? When you tell me that your quality is superior, why? What is so superior about your quality? If you're a guy and you're into cars, well, okay, if you're a gal and you're into cars, have you checked out Jay Leno's YouTube channel? I don't know, it's been on for a while. Jay Leno's Garage. You should. These are about 15-minute long videos, and they're not all his cars. They're just cars. He's a car guy. And he walks around the car, and he shows us the car, and he's bragging about the car, and he shows us the outside. They raise the hood. He raises the trunk. He points out the things in the car that he thinks are terrific. Sometimes he'll point out the things that he thinks aren't quite so great. He shows us the inside of the car, and then he takes us on a drive. It's great show and tell. So if you want to take a look at good show and tell, Jay Leno's Garage is top notch. Even if you're not into cars, go to the YouTube channel and watch it. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. BulaNetwork.com. Just go to episode 164. We need to do that. That's what we need to do. We need to show people. It really needs to be. I was kidding with somebody not long ago about how especially little boys want to show off to mom. And it's that, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. Hey, watch me. Hey, now watch me do this. My grandsons, it's constant. It's constant. It's constant with my wife, especially. It's constant with their mom. It's constant with me. It's, hey, watch me do this. Hey, watch me. We need to be doing more of that in our businesses. That's show and tell. Now, like my grandsons, you got to have something worth showing off. They're not going to holler out, hey, look at me. Watch me run. Watch me walk. We've seen that. Hey, watch me kick this ball. Okay, we don't always see that. Hey, watch me climb this ladder. Hey, watch me stand up in this swing. Hey, watch me slide down this slide. Watch me play this Wii game. We need more showing off. In fact, I speak to that. You can either go like the Facebook page, or you can plug your email in over on the About page, and I will send you completely free Control Your Own Destiny. It's on being an entrepreneur, and I talk a bit about showing off in that little ebook, and there's also a 28-minute audiobook version of it, if you prefer to hear me kind of read it. Yeah, all it takes is go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/BulaNetwork, click the like, bam, you'll see the downloads right there. Easy stuff. We need more of that. We need to show off more. We need to show and tell our way to success. We're doing a disservice, not only to our customers, our prospects, but we're doing a disservice to our business, our employees, our sales, our success, when we don't show off. Imagine if this house that I had seen 25 years ago, if they just did what everybody else did. You just had an open house and you got a real estate agent sitting there with a card table, handing out cards, making the pitch. But the fact that they had this prop there and he's explaining, here's the kind of insulation we use. Here's the kind of windows that we use. Here's the brand of windows that we use. And here's why we use what we use. Here's how our construction process works. Here's why we do what we do. I wanted to buy one. Well, we were in the process of trying to get to Dallas, Texas, so it didn't happen. No, it wasn't here in Dallas. It was somewhere else. Can you show and tell your way to success? Absolutely, positively, you can. How? Go to work on that. Figure it out. This is not about tips and techniques. I'm rather sick and tired of all the cats out there. You know, this is about tips and okay, well, I'm here to tell you, I'm not about tips and techniques. Because if you want to do what everybody else is doing or try, I just think it's a lost cause. I think it's a failed way to go about it. Carve your own path, make your own way, figure out what works best for you. Because what works for that guy may not work best for you. And look outside your industry. Man, still ideas from other people. If you are not in the construction business, are you in any kind of business where you can steal any of the things I've just talked about? I mean, I'm thinking of anything to do with service, anything to do with repair. There's all kinds of great stories that can be told that don't have to bore people to tears and don't have to take a big long-winded time about it. But there are some people who do some things and they do it in a very different, unique way than other people in their space. And they just throw out a sentence out there. You know, I'm thinking of a home builder that throws out, you know, how energy efficient. What does that mean? Everybody says they're energy efficient. Is there something you do different? What is that difference? Explain that difference to me. Show me that difference. Tell me about that difference, because that might make the difference in me saying yes to you and no to your competitor. You just got to spend some time with it. You got to pay some attention to it, and you got to think about the way that you're crafting the story. You got to think about the words that you're speaking. I will give you this little tip or technique. Don't use the language of your industry. Use the language of your customer. Hey, thanks for listening. Greatly appreciate it. Again, go to iTunes, won't you? Leave me a review. Subscribe to the podcast. I appreciate you giving me, I don't know, 34, 35 minutes of your life. I hope you find what we do here profitable. Again, we are all about finding new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BoolaNetwork.com. This is The Yellow Studio.